This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. It's 7:06 a.m. on Thursday, the 25th of April. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Keith Kam. In half an hour, we're going to discuss the outlook for the China and Hong Kong property market. But as always, we are going to kickstart the morning with a look at how global markets closed overnight.
So Wall Street was affected by rising treasury yields, which put some downward pressure on stocks. The Dow Jones, everything basically ended sort of flat-ish. The Dow Jones was down 0.1%. The S&P 500 was barely changed. The Nasdaq was up 0.1%. But it was a pretty much green day in Asia yesterday. The Nikkei was up 2.4%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng was up 2.2%. Shanghai's Composite was up 0.8%. The STI was up 0.6%. And the FBM KLCI was also up 0.6%, closing at 1,571 points.
So for some thoughts on what's moving international markets, we have on the line with us Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Tony, good morning. Can we start off with just taking a look at some of the news headlines coming out overnight from earnings season? Let's start with Meta. You know, why do you think markets were spooked given that we saw shares come down 16% after the results were issued just recently?
Yeah, I think that the headline really is that AI is coming to a point where investors want some return on AI investment. So Meta was down, 15% after hours? At one point, it touched $401. So it would have been down almost $100 on the day, but it's bounced back a little bit since. So the problem is the revenue guidance was negative when investors expected guidance up 5 to 7%. CapEx was also up $5 to $10 billion over previous expectations. So these are billions with a B, and it's approaching $40 billion for calendar year 2024. So there's big dollars going into AI development, but investors aren't seeing returns on that AI development, where Meta's biggest revenue is still on the ad side. So investors are disappointed because revenue guidance is down and CapEx is up.
And Tony, Boeing also reported its results. I was just wondering, you know, when is it time to buy this company? I mean, it's had a lot of safety issues. Or are investors worried about the cash burn?
Yeah, well, so keep in mind, up until earnings today, Boeing was already down 32% year to date. And today it was down another 3%. So obviously the safety failures are a big issue and it caused a manufacturing slowdown. So their airplane deliveries were down almost 50% compared to a year ago. So it seems like they're slowing because of safety and orders may be slowing as well. So is it time? You know what? I really don't know. I worry that there's more to come with this stock because the CEO has said he's leaving, but he's not leaving yet. It's several months before his departure. So until you have a team in place that can really make the transition to a safety culture while being profitable, I'm just not sure it's time for Boeing yet.
What are you looking for in Boeing before you're convinced that it should be a buy?
Well, you need to make sure that its defense revenues are solid and in place, and you're not having any, say, government pullback because of the safety issues. You also need to make sure that their deliveries of airliners are in place and they're back on trend. So obviously, this quarter wasn't trend in terms of deliverables. It was, you know, it was really negative. So they have to get back onto a historical trend and growth trend. A big part of that is the team. What is the team that will be in place? Boeing is a big company. It's been a pretty conservative company. And until they can get the right people in place, then I'm really not sure. I'm not confident it's a long-term buy until I see the right team in place.
And I guess looking more broadly at earnings season, this week is big because we have about 40 to 45% of companies reporting in the U.S. Optimism appears intact, but is it enough to offset the reality that the Fed rate cuts might not be as forthcoming as originally expected?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. Earnings are already deteriorating significantly. So without the NVIDIA, Amazon, Meta, Google, Microsofts of the world, S&P 500 profits are down 6%. So, you know, it takes just a handful of stocks to prop up earnings expectations. So given the interest rate environment, it's hard for small companies to roll over debt, especially mid-sized, larger companies. It's a bit easier, but small companies are most of the jobs in the U.S. Bankruptcies, debt delinquencies, et cetera, are all very high. So inflation is persistent, but it's persistent at lower levels. So we're at a higher base rate of inflation, but we still do see inflation expanding, and that's really hard. So it's really hard to cut rates when you're in an environment where inflation is still expanding. So we would probably have to see the jobs data deteriorate pretty dramatically. And so the official jobless rate in the U.S., I think, is around 4%. I've seen surveys that say it's really closer to 8%. So I wouldn't be surprised to see those national data deteriorate in the next couple months. So if inflation doesn't slow or go negative, and if jobs don't slow down, we can't see a cut. But again, I think probably midsummer, we may see something just for the Fed just to dip their toe in the water.
And Tony, gold prices, they hit a high about a couple of weeks ago during the whole Iran-Israel conflict and the uncertainty of it all. $2,400 was the high. It's fallen to about $2,300 currently, which is about $100 off, you know, because those tensions appear to have eased. What's your prognosis on it? Is it still a buy on dip kind of a situation?
Yeah, I'd be really careful. You know, the gold upward swing has really been on the back of a lot of demand from Asia. U.S. retail, Western retail, central banks haven't really been accelerating their purchases on a volume basis. So, you know, it's likely that gold remains at elevated levels. It's possible that gold swings up further, but it's not necessarily kind of our mainstream view that gold's going to swing up dramatically further. There may be incremental pushes higher, but we're not necessarily seeing a dramatic continued gold upswing.
And in that case, can we also take a look at oil? Because Brent crude is still hovering below $90 per barrel, despite all the geopolitical tensions.
Yep.
Do you think that we're going to continue to see it trading within that range? Or given that we're heading into U.S. Summer driving season, are we going to see an upside to this?
It's possible, but you know, the biggest factor there is geopolitical risk. And you know, we've seen Israel and Iran trading, you know, lobs for the last few weeks, and we haven't seen gold spike. So if that hasn't made gold spike, then I'm not really sure what will from a geopolitical perspective. The supply is fine, and we keep seeing announcements of new deepwater finds in the news every kind of once a month. The Russian caps aren't working. We see, you know, Russia is the largest source of oil for India and so on. So the Iran caps aren't working. So supply is okay. And demand isn't growing dramatically. In fact, in say Europe and parts of Asia, we're seeing demand mute as well. So again, we don't see a huge catalyst for crude oil itself. Now, distillates like diesel and jet fuel, those sorts of things, there's definitely tight markets and definitely shortages there. But crude itself, we're not really seeing dramatic upswings. Again, there's pressure, but not a dramatic upswing.
And if we look at currencies, the dollar yen has gone past the psychological level of 155 to the US dollar. At some point, you expect the Bank of Japan to intervene?
Yeah, one would hope so. But I'm not really sure that it's ready yet. What I'm hearing is that we may see the yen get to 160 or 170 before BOJ and the finance ministry are ready to intervene. They do have dollar swap lines in place, so they can, you know, the Fed and the BOJ can work together to strengthen the yen. But my understanding is that it's just not there yet. And so we are at a weaker level. Japanese consumers are hurting for energy prices and other things that are imported. But my understanding is that they're just waiting just a bit longer before they intervene to strengthen the yen.
Very, very quickly, Tony, do you see this as more of a yen weakness or a dollar strength?
I think it's not just that. It's also China competition. Okay, so, you know, we have exports from Japan that are strong. We have exports from China that are strong. So, you know, I see it as it is dollar strength on a certain basis because there is more fiscal spending in the U.S. But I also see kind of a mini currency war between China and Japan. And so I think between those two elements, and you have a BOJ that doesn't have a strong leader at all. Ueda has really not been assertive and he has not been strong. So you have kind of 3 points between the head of the BOJ, strong U.S. dollar, and the Japan-China kind of mini currency war that is really not in Japan's in the yen's favor right now.
Tony, thanks as always for the chat. That was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, giving us his take on some of the trends that he sees moving markets in the days and weeks ahead, including comments on some of the headlines that we're seeing coming out of earnings season, particularly that on Meta. If we can spend a little bit of time, I think, just going through what's happening at Meta, it did report revenue increases. Revenue rose by 27% on year to $36.5 billion. This is actually higher than expected. Earnings also exceeded expectations at $4.71. But as Tony said, markets didn't seem very happy given the fact that spending estimates increased, and also I think guidance on revenues was lower than what they wanted.
Overnight, Meta Platforms Inc., the company, it closed at $493.50, which is down 0.5% over the day.
All right, 7:17 in the morning. We're going to head into some messages, but we'll come back to look at more of the top stories in the newspapers and portals. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.